Okay, first question. We have the United Nations Biodiversity COP in October this year. What is the UN Convention on Biodiversity and what is this COP meeting trying to achieve?
Okay, well, the UN Convention on Biological Diversity is seeking, as the name would suggest, to protect biodiversity globally. But it's not just about conserving biodiversity. This isn't just something that's there for those of us who with an interest in wildlife to be concerned about. It's also looking at the sustainable use of natural resources, so the goods and services that arise from biodiversity and how those are used in a way that means they'll be available for use by future generations. And it's also around the equitable sharing of those benefits from biodiversity and natural capital. So between countries and between parties to the convention. So that those are some pretty big aims. And obviously the convention arose in Rio in 1992 at the Earth Summit. So it's some 30 years ago. And since then, we've had regular meetings of the parties on biological diversity. And we've had series and series of targets that we've yet to achieve. So the Aichi targets and the most recent, which have none of them have been completed in their entirety. And so this COP in China in November, October, is the big one, essentially. This is the one where we need to actually listen to all of the guidance that we've been given. We listen to the data on how biodiversity is declining, and there have been many global reports about that. And we listen to views of people like Professor Dasgupta about how we need a complete shift in our economic systems. And this is the decade we have to do that. The next 10 years are declared the UN decade of ecosystem restoration. And literally, you know, we're already 1 year in. We have 9 years to deliver this.
Thank you. Okay, second question here. Biodiversity is clearly an international issue, but in terms of the UK, what does our national position on biodiversity look like?
In terms of how well our biodiversity is doing, we clearly have significant issues. Britain is actually one of the most, one of the countries where biodiversity has declined the greatest. So we have very little natural habitat within the UK. And if you take my particular specialization is mammals. If you look at British mammals, 25% of them are at risk of extinction. And so, you know, if we can drive common, rapidly breeding species like rodents to the brink of extinction, we've got a significant problem on our hands. But obviously, it's not part of the story about how well we're doing on biodiversity relates to the legislation and policies that are in place to protect it. And here we're looking quite good. Here in policy terms, in our approach to dealing with this crisis, we're ahead of a lot of countries. And I think we need to build on what we've written, what we've signed up to, what we've said we'll do, and make sure that we're actually doing the big structural changes to put those things in place. So we have great legislation within the UK that's derived from EU policy. We have some great ideas coming out of the new Environment Bill, which we hope will be published later on this year. And we've got pockets of really great practice in ecosystem restoration, habitat restoration, rewilding, but we need to bring these things together, make it a policy and put it front and centre of where we're going.
Thank you. Okay, the third question. A significant part of the solution to tackling biodiversity loss will have to come from business. What do businesses need in order to take action, and what's holding them back?
Okay, well, first of all, yes, a lot of this will fall to business, of course, because, you know, that's where economic activity comes from, if you like. but there's a spectrum. It isn't just about businesses, a whole spectrum from what can we do at international treaty and at government policy level, right through to what can I do as an individual. And one of the steps in there, in that spectrum, is business. So what can business do? Well, a huge amount of things, first of all, stop thinking that sustainability is all about carbon. Stop thinking it's all about let's get to net zero, what are we doing for COP26, and start thinking about the wider measures of sustainability. You know, they're all familiar, everyone's familiar with that sort of three-legged stool view of sustainability, of environment, social and economic issues. You need to be working on all of them. The stool needs to be balanced, or you're not going to be sustainable, no matter how rapidly you try to get to net zero. So that's the big thing they've got to do. They've got to start thinking in terms of how they use all natural resources. And then I'd say the other element is they need to think in terms of the whole of life and the whole of their value chain, rather than just, you know, what stops at the factory gate, for example. So, you know, where are your raw materials coming from? Are you using materials that have significant natural resource implications? Does your process take a lot of water? How do people use your products or dispose of them at the end of their life? Your responsibility is much broader than the immediate activities that you have control of. So I think businesses need to start thinking in a different way in order to tackle these crises and to make themselves fit for the future, to avoid some of the business risks that arise from these global crises. In terms of what they need a good structure of legislation, policy and regulation in order to do that. Businesses are great. What businesses do best is innovate and find clever new ways to do things. But businesses work within the system that they exist within. So until we have the kind of structural change, the kind of rethinking of our institutions that Professor Dasgupta is talking about, then it's really hard for business to make that leap. You will get innovators, you will get people who find a way to make a commercial advantage out of being more sustainable, but that won't be what everyone does. Everyone won't follow that lead until the structure is there.
Thank you. Okay, the fourth question, there is obviously a close link between action on biodiversity loss and action on tackling climate change. How can the UK government and others bring these conversations together so that the green recovery from the pandemic properly encompasses both climate and biodiversity?
Yeah, I think this is really important. That there's a lot of talk around how these things are linked, but we're not seeing necessarily joined up policies on it. And we need to see that drive that we have towards net zero being extended into being genuinely sustainable. So, for example, one of the most common nature-based solutions for climate change is planting trees. But if you plant trees in the wrong place, then you'll actually be having a negative effect, both for biodiversity and potentially for climate. So there's a site I've been looking at recently where the best thing we can do, both for biodiversity and for climate, is to remove hundreds of hectares of trees to restore the natural bog that's underneath, which will sequester far more carbon, which will be far more beneficial for the biodiversity that should be in that area, which will have knock-on benefits for water quality in the streams and so on, because we need to look at that holistic picture of what should be there, how the natural system should work and how we can work with it. So there's that danger that if you just focus on one element, then you'll make some choices which will have not necessarily the outcomes you were seeking, and sometimes outcomes that are actively the reverse of what you were seeking to do. And so I think that we need to make sure that we're bringing together the COPs that happened this year. We're bringing together the government advisors and government specialists who are thinking about these two areas, and we make sure that everything is seen through that lens of a holistic approach to, well, how does this affect the natural environment? How does it affect life on the planet? And having a net positive impact on life in its broadest sense, both human and the natural environment as we possibly can. And I don't mean to underestimate that, you know, to make that sound like it's an easy thing to do. It is nothing more and nothing less than completely rethinking society, how we do business and how we go about our day-to-day lives. Nobody's saying that you can carry on living as though all resources were unlimited when they're not. There will be changes and there will be things that might feel like a sacrifice. You may not be able to have the next version of your smartphone that comes out every year. But maybe that isn't what we should be wanting. Maybe we need to think about wanting less and doing better and enjoying a better quality of life.